Welcome back to Issues Etc. Here in the last half hour, we continue a sermon review of a John the Baptist sermon by Pastor Bill Swirla, preached for Advent. And we'll take your questions and your comments. Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our email address here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. And before the break, I read Kate's email from Japan. I've always wondered, John said he wasn't Elijah. Jesus said he was. What's going on? For those of you not in the know, well, one of them was just mentioned by Pastor Swirla in the sermon. When John is asked early on, who are you? Are you the Christ? No. Are you Elijah? No. That's what she's talking about. And then the other instance is where, after the transfiguration, Jesus and his disciples are going down off the mountain. Jesus is preparing to go to Jerusalem to suffer and die. And his disciples ask him about John the Baptist. Oddly, it's a strange subject to bring up. And Jesus says, well, if you will, he is the Elijah who was promised. Now, I can see how that's a very confusing set of circumstances. John seems to say, no, I'm not Elijah, and Jesus seems to affirm that Jesus is Elijah. So how do you work it out? Well, I think the beginning of the answer is context is king. The context of the first is John the Baptist being asked whether or not he is Elijah himself. The idea was that somehow Elijah was going to return from the dead or from heaven or whatever to herald the coming of the Messiah. And this is the way I sorted out, Kate. When John hears that question, the question is essentially, are you the resurrected Elijah? Are you Elijah back from the dead? They also, by the way, confused Jesus with Elijah. They even confused Jesus with John the Baptist. There's one point where in the Gospels where they mention that Jesus, some people believe Jesus is John the Baptist come back from the dead. It's very confused. Well, in answer to the question of whether or not John the Baptist is the resurrected Elijah, the answer is no. John the Baptist is one guy, Elijah is another guy, and John the Baptist is not the reincarnated or resurrected Elijah. The two different individuals, which is quite evident from the fact that who appears on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, which probably gets the disciples wondering about John the Baptist. So in answer to the question, are you Elijah back from the dead? The answer is no. But Jesus, in a different context, is really answering a different question. When they ask, who is John the Baptist? Jesus says, he is the Elijah who is promised. Now, he can't be talking about Elijah back from the dead. He can't be talking about that because Elijah has just stood next to him on the Mount of Transfiguration. It's quite obvious that Elijah is Elijah and John the Baptist is John the Baptist. So Jesus is answering the question, what is John the Baptist all about? Well, he's about the same thing Elijah is about. And he is the one that was promised with reference to Elijah who would come and prepare the way of the Lord. I hope that makes it clear. It doesn't make it less clear. In one question is, are you Elijah himself? And the other question is, who is John the Baptist? Well, he was the Elijah. He's the promised Elijah, not the Old Testament Elijah. Although the two, of course, one sets the pattern for the other. Calling the hearts of the children and of the parents back to one another, calling people to repentance. John the Baptist does the same thing in advance of Jesus that Elijah does in the Old Testament. Hope it helps. Let's go back to the sermon by Pastor Bill Swirla on John the Baptist.
I hope you get the picture. John wasn't a nice guy. Probably even made little kids cry, too. I know that bulletin cover would. But the kingdom of God is not about being nice. And the kingdom of God is not about nice guys. It's about dying and rising, which isn't a terribly nice piece of business. Now, don't think for a moment that John wasn't popular. He was very popular. All sorts of people flocked to him, from Judea, from all over Jerusalem. Mark says all of Judea and Jerusalem came out to John. Sinners of every shape and size, adulterers and thieves and tax cheats and soldiers and religious losers of every kind flocked to this strange wilderness man with the macrobiotic diet and the camel hair coat. They came with nothing but their sin and their broken, miserable lives. They came, as we say in the beginning of the service, they came as poor, miserable sinners, confessing the utter hopelessness of being sinful through and through in thought, in word, in deed, by nature, from their own conception, sinful. Sinners longing for something better. Beggars with nothing to bring to God except empty hands and empty broken hearts. People who flunked religion 101. They all came to John confessing their sins. That's all they brought, a confession. And he baptized them and he washed away their sins. They came spiritually naked and thirsty and hungry, empty, seeking rebirth and renewal. And John provided something new for them, something that had never ever been seen in Israel before, baptism. He washed them of their sins in Jordan River water. That's the same Jordan River water that split in two when the children of Israel walked into the promised land. That's the Jordan River water that cleansed Naaman, the Syrian general, of his leprosy. Here, at the hand of John, by the word of God, people were washed of their sins.
This, I want you to listen carefully to this, because apart from the general thrust of the sermon so far, this is probably one of the best basic explanations of John the Baptist's baptism I've ever heard. It's a big puzzle for some. You know, what was John the Baptist doing, baptizing, and how, if at all, is Christian baptism different from John the Baptist's baptism? Because after all, of course, John the Baptist's baptism is a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, but it's not a Christian baptism in this sense. He's not baptizing people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit the way Christ commanded his church to baptize. So there is at least some difference here between the two. What's the difference? It's a big puzzle. And I think Pastor Schwerle does a pretty good job of explaining, with John the Baptist standing as the bridge between the old and the new, what this baptism that John was doing really was and how it is connected to Christian baptism. Just listen. I mean, apart from the general thrust of the sermon, listen to this, and it does actually get us to the point of the sermon as well.
How can water do such great things, you asked? You know that answer, not the water alone, but the Word of God that came with John, along with the water, does these things. That water word from John brought a fresh start, a new life, a rebirth and a renewal, repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It was a way for a sinner to live before God justified. You don't clean up your act. God cleans up your act. You don't clean your hearts. God cleans your hearts. You don't give your heart to Jesus. God takes your heart. He takes that piece of junk and he makes it his own. At the temple in Jerusalem, you provided a sacrificial animal in order to be forgiven. You confessed your sins publicly out loud to a priest. And then you and the priest laid hands on this innocent animal. And then a knife was put to its throat. Its throat slit. The blood poured out. The body roasted on the fire on the altar. And that was your absolution. That was your forgiveness. God had provided it. The life of the animal in place of your life. His blood for your atonement. But as Jesus pointed out, new wine calls for new wineskins. The old religious forms couldn't hold this Jesus, and they were coming to an end. John was calling Israel back, out of Jerusalem, away from the temple, into the Jordan, into the wilderness for a fresh start. The temple, the sacrifices were all about to come to their fulfillment and end in the death of God's Lamb, Jesus. This was the new wineskin for the new wine of the new covenant, a new way of forgiveness, not the shedding of animals' blood, but baptism, a washing of water and the Word. And don't imagine for a second that this washing is without blood. The blood for this baptism comes not from an animal, but from God's Lamb and His cross, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. John's baptism was a foretaste, a sample, a preview, a bridge between the old and the new. Jesus' baptism is the main event, bringing water, word, and spirit together with his own death and resurrection in a salvation flood that now saves you.
Okay, now that's what I wanted you to notice there, was this beautiful explanation. You know, I'm just going to, whenever we get the question again, what was the relationship between John's baptism and Jesus' baptism, between Christian baptism and the baptism John the Baptist was doing, I'm just going to cut that little piece out of Swirla's sermon and post it. That's the explanation. Beautiful, Christ-centered, I should say, cross-focused explanation. There's just a few more minutes of this sermon where, if you haven't seen it already, I hope you do see in these next few minutes, how a sermon about John the Baptist can, in fact, really be all about Jesus. And then I want your thoughts on this sermon by Pastor Bill Swirla, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org.
St. Mark says this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is where the gospel always begins, with the wilderness voice of the preached word and with holy baptism. That's where the gospel begins. That's where it began for each one of us. And to that beginning, we return each and every day. The word has reached your ears, calling forth repentance and faith. You are baptized into Jesus' death and resurrection, that greater baptism which John spoke of water and the Holy Spirit. You have been united with Christ in his death, in his resurrection, and in his glory. The church is John the baptizer for these end times, preaching, baptizing, preparing the way of the Lord, making his paths straight. Like camel's hair and leather, we're not terribly fashionable, not in step with the world. Look at what goes on here. We confess our sins, we hear forgiveness, we eat and drink the body and blood of Christ. To the world, it might as well be locusts and wild honey. It's weird. It's out of step. It will never be in fashion. But by the gift of God, you and I have been given to join the ranks of the losers of this world, those who have lost their lives in Jesus, those who have died to self and now live to God in Christ, those who are nothing but given to, those who are nothing in themselves, so that Christ might be everything in and through us. The church's voice still cries out in the wilderness, repent, be baptized, get ready. Christ is coming. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.
All right, so what do you think? Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our call-in numbers, 505-7850, or 1-800-730-2727. You know what? When I grow up, I want to be Bill Swirla. Really. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, our in-studio email address, issues.ztc@kfuo.org. For those of you who are interested, that sermon came from Pastor Bill Swirla, Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California. And all you've got to do is go to Google, click on, just write Swirla, and it's spelled C-W-I-R-L-A. Just where you would put an S, put a C. C-W-I-R-L-A. Put Swirla, put sermon, put podcast. And I think the first link that Google gives you will be to Chris Roseborough's podcast of Pastor Bill Swirla's sermons. And you can listen to them for yourself. I recommend it. I highly recommend it. Let's talk with Steve calling from his car. Hi, Steve.
Boy, is that like the antithesis of a seeker-sensitive sermon?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was listening to this, and he's a great preacher because there's like three or four sub-points that I picked up on when I was listening to him. And what I found was fascinating, it would occur to me, was when he was describing John the Baptist, is, does that describe the pastor who I'm hearing the sermon from? John the Baptist sermons were always pointing toward Jesus. You know, he must increase, I must decrease. And how often do you hear sermons where the pastor himself is making himself decrease to build up Christ?
That is, you know, that's the amazing thing, Steve. Thank you so much for that comment. I was thinking the same thing when I was listening to the sermon through the second time. And that is, if you, it's amazing. He did, this is probably just a stylistic thing, which I find fascinating because I'm a preacher, but it's genius. And I bet you if I asked Bill, hey, Bill, did you mean to do this? He'd say, what are you talking about? I had no such intention. Holy Spirit's a much better preacher than any of us are. Throughout the sermon, John the Baptist gets smaller and smaller, and Jesus gets bigger and bigger, just exactly the way it's supposed to happen. Throughout the sermon, John the Baptist recedes, and Jesus is brought forward, just exactly the way it's supposed to happen, just exactly the way it did happen. Scott calls from his car. Hi, Scott.
Oh, hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Hey, I just caught the tail end of this and was really edified by it, and I had never put together that concept about, you know, the gospel begins with the word in the wilderness and, you know, John being out there, that correlation between the two I thought was a real good one. And I don't know if you ever heard this expression. A guy told me at church once, he said, you know, many people are content to wade in the shallows of God's word and few go out in the deep water. And I think this guy, man, he's at extreme depths. Because, boy, there's a lot packed in there.
You're right, Scott, and stay on for a second here. It's
sure.
Not this kind of deep preaching that people think of when they usually think of deep preaching as though it's difficult to understand or it's hard to navigate. It is certainly in-depth preaching.
Yeah.
But presented at if I can understand this stuff. Anybody can.
Oh yeah, I didn't mean to imply it was hard to understand, but boy, some of the concepts he's bringing out, those are not things you normally hear. It's not a superficial treatment of the word. It's pulling together, you know, just the things he was saying. You could just see him tying things together from all over the scriptures, and boy, that's a real gift, and we need more like him.
Amen, Scott. Thank you very much for that thought. What about the rest of you? 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727, issues.ztc@kfuo.org. Like I said before, when I grow up, I want to be Bill Swirla. It'll never happen, but one can dream. One can dream. No, not just to simply magnify the talents of a good preacher, but what makes this a good sermon, no matter who preaches it? What makes it a good sermon is that it does precisely... It really follows in the footsteps of John the Baptist. You know, Jesus says no greater man born to woman than John the Baptist. And yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him. It does what John the Baptist did. It announces the kingdom of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist is nothing more than the voice. He's the herald that announces something else, someone else. John the Baptist is not there to be noticed, although he gets quite a bit of notice, but to direct our attention and our notice to Christ himself. He is the forerunner. But once he's forerun, he literally taken off the scene. Once he has announced Christ and introduced him, he's gone. One of my seminary professors used to say that the preacher's job is to get into the pulpit and preach in such a way so that he steps out of the way and presents Christ. That's a good picture, isn't it? Stepping out of the way so that the people can see Jesus Christ and him crucified. Here's Harold from St. Charles. Hi, Harold. Oh, we just lost Harold. That's all right. What did this sermon do? It brought us to the feet of John the Baptist, because after all, the text is about John and what he was doing. It brought us to the feet of John the Baptist and let John proclaim Christ to us. It brought us to the feet of John the Baptist so that we could hear him preach. And what did he preach? Who did John the Baptist preach? He preached Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He preached repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Christ's name. You know, if you're going to, I mentioned this at the beginning of the sermon review, if a pastor says, well, the text is about Moses, I got to preach Moses material. No, you don't. Go take your people in this text to the feet of Moses and let Moses proclaim Christ, because he does, or David, or Solomon, or any of the others. You can trust it. Go to the feet of those Old Testament people and let them tell you about Jesus Christ. You need to check out the new I Have Issues t-shirt tonight. It's very easy to find. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. And at our homepage, you'll find a picture of the new I Have Issues t-shirt. We'll send it to you when you join our monthly or annual donor program, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, along with all sorts of other benefits like books, tapes, transcripts. You can become a confessor, an apologist, a reformer. We got a new level there at the top called the patron. And anyone who joins or upgrades their membership or renews their membership gets the new I Have Issues t-shirt. Find it at our website, issuesetc.org, and a way to become a member of the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. We're looking to swell the ranks of the Reformation Club to 300 by the end of the year. We're well on our way, and you can help us do it. issuesetc.org. And you get to add a little something to your wardrobe, the I Have Issues t-shirt. Tomorrow, St. Ambrose with Dr. Richard Stuckwish and The Birth of Christ Foretold with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.